Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, hey.
Oh, Jen, it's you.
Hi, Dina.
Hi. Thanks for coming here to host the podcast again.
It's a grand time every single time.
It really is. Mm-hmm. It's a morning. It's a rainy morning.
Yeah.
We both had trouble getting to the studio,
mm-hmm.
aka Danielle's kitchen,
yeah.
dining area.
We were yelling at people on the street.
I definitely
Dina was.
Yelled at many people in the street. I was like, did you steal that cab from me? I'm here. Yeah, one cab pulled up and was like, where are you going? And I was like, I'm going to Main Street. And she was like, I got a fare. And I was like, well, you should turn your light off. And then yeah. she started yelling at me. And I was like, I'm literally just telling you how the rules work for what people think when you have your light on and you're a cab.
She started yelling at you.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Anyway, I was like, no, you go. We don't need to talk anymore.
Yeah, get out of here.
Anyway, it was fine. We all made it. We have a very special guest today. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Sharon.
Hi, guys.
Vala?
Yep.
How's it going?
Good. It's going great. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, we're really happy to have you. We both read your book, and we're texting about it last night, as we do the night before podcast, usually, like, excitedly say thanks to each other about stuff.
It's so good. We
that's
love
happening.
It.
Yeah, that's yeah. happening. So it's an important tradition.
And then we complain about other things.
100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not your book.
Yeah, unrelated.
Yeah, you have to complain about the book before you bring me in.
Oh, no. No. We just don't have anyone on the podcast whose books we would complain about.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, that is the most important thing. Yeah, it's easy for us. We don't have to pretend to like things.
No, we don't.
Because we just do this for free. We don't have to worry about it to like anything. Except for getting sued. Just kidding. We're never getting sued.
No, don't sue us.
Why did I even say that?
Yeah, now we're totally getting sued.
I'm cutting this part out.
Yeah, okay. You're not going to cut it out.
I'm going to this time. If anyone of our listeners hears that, I always say I'm going to cut things out and I don't.
Yeah.
But this for sure. So Jen, do you want to tell us what's happening?
Well, I was just thinking about this because we were talking about whiskey. A friend of mine brought me a bottle of Drake's whiskey that he makes. It's called Virginia.
Drake, like the sixth Drake?
Yeah, Drake.
Oh, he has a whiskey?
He has a whiskey.
Did he make it?
No. His name is on it. Right. And like the logo of it looks like his logo. It's called Virginia Black. And I think
Drake has a logo.
Yeah. And I think it's like
I need to up my brand game.
You should. Yeah. Sharon, get on it.
It's like a bourbon style whiskey. But then if you look at the label really closely, it says very small print that it's made in Indianapolis.
Not in the Highlands. What?
Not Kentucky.
Not in Kentucky. That's
no.
Weird.
And then I drank some. And it tastes like water. Like, it's not, I mean, Drake, whatever. Like, this is just an honest review of your whiskey. It tastes like water.
He's going to see you.
It's very.
Yeah, definitely.
It's very fine with a ginger ale. And that's about
I wonder if you could make a cocktail with it.
I mean, even an old fashioned with that wouldn't taste that great.
Right.
I mean,
I agree.
A whiskey sour, maybe.
Yeah, you could put some sour in there.
Yeah, maybe I'll make a whiskey sour.
You could do a sour. You could put something bitter.
I mean, and then the bottle looks like the bottle for Dracar Noir. You remember Dracar Noir?
Of course.
Like, that's what it looks like. And I'm like, it's not part of my brand. It's such a masculine 80s alpha male, you know, American Psycho bottle in
that's
my bar cart.
Very strange. Okay, just to offshoot, because then you said you wanted to up your brand. So if you did, what product would it be?
Yeah, what would you? If you could, ooh.
Yeah, you're going to like put your face on something. Oh.
Okay, well, mine would be lipstick, clearly.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, we could share that one, Dina.
I want a dress line, of course.
I don't feel like my face should be on anything.
It doesn't have to be your face. It can just be a logo of some kind that, like, indicates. Like, everyone knows Kate Spade, but Kate Spade's face isn't
Could
like
I
Kate
be
Spade.
Like Heather's Pick, where I just pick books?
Yeah, for sure. You can have your own thing. You could be like Heather's Pick. You could be like
thing.
Oprah's book club style.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, except I'd actually read the books and like the books.
What kind of books?
I love that you're... Oh. Yeah.
Okay, so only my favorites. So at the moment, Camilla Shamsie's Home Fire.
Okay.
Blew me away. Mm-hmm. I just finished reading The Power. Power.
The
yes.
Power.
And then I wanted to like zap men. I wanted to go out and zap men.
Oh, the power. We can do that right after we're done taping the
okay.
podcast.
Yeah.
We're because everything the three of us are here Zadie in Smith. This like coven set up. We're
oh, yeah.
generating power yeah. right now.
We're gonna eat some chocolates. We have chocolate hearts. We're gonna eat some chocolate hearts.
Chocolate hearts.
Zap some dudes.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
That sounds
put my
great.
Face on other people's books.
Just like a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Like, hey, that's cute. Two thumbs up. That is cute.
That you is should, good.
That's cute.
I'm into it.
Yeah,
very into it.
Do you know what's happening?
What is happening? I went to Harrison Hot Springs this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd only ever really driven through or like stopped for a minute. Like, I'd never actually gone to the hot springs, and it was really fun. It was my friend's birthday, friend of the podcast, Kelly Nan.
Hi, Kelly.
And it was super great. There were a bunch of us that went. But the weird part was, as soon as we got there, we went down into the adults only pool.
Oh, yes.
And what happens in there?
Just the worst thing. Like, it was terrible. You think the kids' pool would be bad, but kids were just happy to be in like warm water
and peeing in the pool. Yeah. Also,
those adults are peeing in the pool.
You know, and
that adults only pool was full of more pee possibly than children's pool.
Also, kid urine. I would take kid urine any day over that.
It was just so messy.
Ew.
And we got there, it was 3 p.m. We got into the water. People were already very drunk. And I was like, are we in Cancun? Like, what is happening?
I'm picturing like Hugh Hefner's grotto.
Yeah, it was like that. Pina coladas were everywhere.
Oh, good Lord.
People were drinking booze out of water bottles. I mean, me included. But I had just started. So then we went into...
I just started at 3 p.m.
Yeah. I mean, we're on vacation.
Also, I'm going to say, were you drinking a pina colada? I'm going to say no.
No, I was not.
No, I wouldn't.
That was not for me.
No.
That's not my jam.
No, not me. No.
But I started... just like a ton of drunk guys and... bros who were, you know, trying to wingman for them, but also their female friends that were trying to wingman for them. And just when we got in, I was like, oh, it's so nice in here. So I just started being myself and doing like a weird crab walk in the pool and like making little crab claws with my hands. And
I was like, hey guys,
look at this cool crab walk.
Imagine
clicking my little hands around like their claws.
It's like the Little Mermaid.
Yes. I was like in the Little Mermaid, yeah. And I was just going around in a circle, and then I bumped into this dude, and I turned around, and I was like, oh, sorry, I was just, you know, doing a crab walk, as you do, and then he looked at me like, is this person hitting on me? And I was like, I'm going over here. Like, I just, like, why would you think that? But that's literally what everyone was thinking. So then we just went into the lap pool, which was great, because it also was right beside the bar.
Yeah.
So it ended up being better, and it was not as full of annoying people. And you could have there was a view of the mountains that were just freshly covered in snow. Not on the other side where your view was just of other people's hotel rooms, but you were in the adults only pool. Anyway, it was super weird.
I was in that hot spring once, and there were lots of things floating in that adults only spring, like things that were
Don't go in the adults only pool.
Things that are supposed to be on people's bodies
and
stay on people's bodies.
Just go in the lap pool.
It's right
by the bar. It's right by the mountains. It's very beautiful. There's also the indoor pools that are the super hot pool. And that was also more chill.
Yeah. Okay.
The next day, a small child befriended me and then was trying to explain to me how she's a great mathematician.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
It was very cute. Although some of her math was not spot on, but most of it was good. And I mean, I'm not that good at math, as everybody knows, but it was very adorable. And then she also was like, I can hold my breath underwater for so long. And then she really could. my friend and I, Kelly, who it used to be like a competitive swimmer, was like, this kid's very good. Anyway, it was really funny. So Harrison Hot Springs, highly recommend. Although the name of their pub, The Old Settler, not a very good name.
Oh.
Would change it.
Would change
that. Sharon, what's happening with you?
I'm here in Vancouver.
Yeah. When did you get in?
Yesterday afternoon, after 12 hours of flying. I feel like I had yesterday twice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But it was nice. It was great.
Helped you.
Yeah, I don't get jet lagged.
That's good.
I just don't believe in it.
That's fair.
I feel like if I don't believe in it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a book. It's out in the world.
It's beautiful.
Read it.
I can't take credit for the cover.
It's beautiful.
Yes, you can. Yes,
beautiful.
You can.
Inside and Out.
I can take credit for the title on the cover.
Beautiful. Inside and Out, The Boat People. Is it M&S?
Yes.
Yes.
Out now with M&S.
It's a very good title, by the way, also. Very into this title.
It's interesting about the title because I hated it for a long time. It was just Boat People, and it was like Boat People / Untitled Project or Untitled Boat People Project. And I hated the title, and I just kept thinking at some point I'm going to change it. Someone's going to come along and come up with something better. And then someone in my writing group said, why don't you just add an article and make it the? And I thought, okay, that's better. That's better. But it wasn't until the very end of the revisions where I suddenly realized it is actually the perfect title because everyone in the book is a boat person. Mm-hmm, right. And it is all about this like wave upon wave of people coming to Canada. And so I came around to the title. But I think also for a long time, I didn't want it to be a book about refugees. And so that's why I think I hated the title for a long time, because I was like, this is not the book I want to write.
What did you want to write if it wasn't? Because this book is very clearly about refugees.
Oh, yeah. That's against my will.
Okay. They took over?
That's what the book wanted to be.
The book bullied you into existence.
Well, Mahinden, the main character, bullied me into, like, he was like, came on the scene, and he was like, that's it. I'm not leaving. I'm staying, and I'm going to be the main character.
I like what you said about wave after wave of boat people, because actually this is one of my things, is that immigration often comes in waves in terms of different communities. And I talk about this with the Chinese Canadian community. It always, there's, you know, every, I would say 20 years, there's a new wave of Chinese people from a different place who have a different, you know, level of income, who have a different, you know, different values and everything. Right. So that's really interesting, because in this, in the boat people, you have people who were formerly refugees or immigrants, really, and their sort of relationship with the newer.
Yeah.
So was that something that you were like interested in, the sort of relationships, intersecting circles, I guess, of different periods of?
No, that happened. That happened very organically. Originally the book was supposed to be set in Toronto. It was going to be about this like big Sri Lankan Canadian family, and it was going to be about how the different generations within the family interacted with each other and how they felt about their own Canadianness versus their Sri Lankanness. So like the generation that came as adults versus their children who were raised here. And then there was also going to be like a new, like a generation of children as well. And it was going to be that the boat happened in British Columbia and people were talking about the boat, and the way they talked about the arrival of the newest group was going to show how they were interacting with each other. And so I was always interested in that interaction between different generations. But then you're right, because then when I started researching the MV Sunsea, which arrived in 2010, I live in St. John's, and someone said, oh, is your book about the Tamils who came in the 80s? Mm-hmm. And I said, no, what Tamils? And then I looked into that, and there were these like boat people who came to the East Coast, to my coast, in the mid-80s, which is around the same time, actually, that my family immigrated. So we were also boat people, although we came by plane. But it is true that that group came in the 80s. They were welcomed. They were accepted. And then a couple of decades later, this other group of people, same island, same tiny part of the island, just a couple of decades later, the way that they were treated was so different. So I was more interested in that, in how the country interacted with these two groups. Mm-hmm. But it is true that, you know, there are characters, there are minor characters in the book who had come on the life rafts in the 80s who are now interacting with the people who've come on this boat.
And different attitudes toward that also.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I often think about how immigrants are welcomed in different stages. And it really does, and you make the point here in the novel, that it really does depend on who's in government.
Yeah.
It really depends on the sort of social, political tone of the country at the time.
Yeah, what else is happening?
That's right. And then sometimes there's resentment and sometimes there's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a really interesting way of like, you know, placing our attitudes toward immigration on like, it's never absolute. It's always a shifting.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to depend on, a lot of how we are open or closed toward any group, I think, has more to do with what is happening with us and less to do with them, which is tragic because it should be about them. It should be about what are the circumstances that you have escaped from? Where are you coming from? What's happening there? And not, well, how do we feel? What's our mood?
Yeah, like I do feel like there's a shutdown of empathy in that way, which is odd because I don't know. Like it seems to me like that's one instance where that's where empathy should lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who are trying to escape something that's terrible I was listening to Mark Maron the other day, as I do sometimes. Well, he was interviewing Gina Rodriguez, who I think is a delight.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, she's a delight. And she was talking about this exact thing. She was like, if you asked a bunch of people who are trying to say, like, build this wall, do this, all these things, you know, what if this was you?
Right.
And, I mean, people hate that. People hate having that argument thrown at them where it's a complete reversal right. of what's going on. They're so defensive and so angry.
And what is that about?
I don't know.
Because it could be you. It could still be us, right? That could still, we have no idea what's
going to
happen.
And on
tomorrow.
Micro levels, that happens all the time. Like, I've talked about this recently, just in terms of, like, something very Vancouver. I was rent evicted. It was a big thing. But, like, you know, it's been happening to people forever. Mm-hmm. And people have been displaced in this city for many different reasons forever. And there's a very large homeless population mm-hmm. for a reason. But if you tell people who are benefiting from something right. that they might not, they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why are you being so shitty to me? And it's like, no one's being shitty to you. Like, other people are having shitty things happen
to them. Because of you.
Yeah, like, you should definitely rethink your position.
It's like those things you see when we talk about displacement, like real estate displacement, what mm-hmm. happens here all the time. And then you have people like, well, I just saved money in the 90s. Well, good for you, fucker.
But also, like, guess what? Some people weren't even friggin' alive in the 90s. I know, so maybe calm down. I mean, I certainly was. I was being really cool.
That was a theme in my book. There was this whole theme of people in Pigeon Park being like displaced from their homes and being squeezed into a smaller and smaller mm-hmm. little cage, which I had to get rid of that because it was just, the book was so full of so many things and characters and it was becoming so unwieldy that at a certain point I had to just like cut a lot of stuff. But there was this whole thing that when I was doing the research, I put Priya in this apartment at the corner of Carol and Hastings.
Oh, okay.
And I became very obsessed with that corner.
Like a gentrified apartment?
No, she was in an older apartment but all around her it was gentrifying. And do you know, have you heard of that pigeon protest?
Yeah.
Pigeon Park with the pickle?
Yep.
The pickle. I really tried hard to get that pickle protest in the, I mean, I just can't tell you. And then after I cut that, I had been trying to work that stupid pickle in to like every story I write. So I have a series of short stories that are set in the same part of Vancouver because in every story I try to like work that pickle protest
it
in.
It will find its way.
And it just
one day it's going to get in. Have you considered writing a poem?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know how to write poetry.
Anyone can write
like
poems.
A haiku about a pickle.
As the resident poet of the podcast, I'm always trying to push poetry onto people.
But that whole idea of people getting pushed out of their homes, of get like they live in an SRO, the city sells the SRO to an expensive condo developer, and then people are physically on the street in this smaller and smaller place. When I researched that was happening in Vancouver, it reminded me of what was happening in the north of Sri Lanka during the end of the war, where people were physically getting displaced into this like tiny cage of land, and then they were just getting squished in and squished in. And I thought, this is so interesting because it's happening for two different reasons, mm-hmm. but the same physical movement of people is happening on two different parts of the world.
You make such a good point, like that sort of how displacement occurs or these oppressions occur. Because, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking about your character, Grace, mm-hmm. who is not very likable, actually. But that's
you don't
thing.
Say.
Her mother is great and her daughters are great.
I agree. There's something in the generational female relationships in that part of the novel mm-hmm. that I agree was so compelling.
Oh, she is like so many women I know. And she's a lot like my oldest sister, actually. But it's this, what I really liked about her is that she knew that these oppressions had occurred. Like she knew mm-hmm. all of this and she's just like, nope, shut it down. And then in a way she kind of gets hers, right? Cause she can't sleep. She's having like this PTSD kind of reaction to stuff. And like her Xin Yang gets let it down, let it all out, Grace. But I was actually really super compelled with her mom. And there's something really interesting about how dementia can strip away whatever social facade, right?
Can I swear?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
I already said that fuck word.
I said fucker already.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Everyone's doing great.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I never thought about Grace getting hers.
She gets hers.
I guess it's true.
She get hers, but there's like definitely ramifications for the way that she has chosen to behave in this situation.
The PTSD came from, I was doing research into how there was a blah, 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 blah. There was a article that came out of the Center for Refugee Studies at York, which was talking about how people who are adjudicators and hear these stories, and it really is that it's like 3 weeks of hearing stories at hearings and then 1 week to make your decisions and write your decisions, and that it's so intense and often you're hearing just these horror stories and it can cause a kind of third party PTSD, and adjudicators who are unprepared for that, who are complete neophytes and don't know what the hell they're doing, one of the things that they do automatically without thinking about it is they put up these walls and they blame the victim, and they think it's going to help them not feel that PTSD. And I think that's what happened to Grace. Like, she's so unprepared for her job that she doesn't know how to cope. And she doesn't know anything really about the suffering in other parts of the world because that's not part of her career to date. And so she's unprepared, and then it hits her harder than it would if she was... I mean, someone like Mitchell Hurst, of course, is also feeling the same things, but he's used to it. He knows how to cope. He knows how to cope in ways that don't involve blaming the victim. She was a hard character.
Also, I find it interesting her relationship to this politician.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And sort of like, yeah, like, I don't know. There's also this idea of women of a certain age revering men who were their mentors in this way that... doesn't allow them to see also things like, I mean, in this particular case, it's oppression, but sort of like the failings of the system. I mean, he is truly villainous.
Oh, yeah.
He's like such a villainous piece of shit.
Yeah, I thought about making him more nuanced.
You know what? I think
it's kind of hard.
I think, but it felt real to me. It felt accurate because so often that's exactly, you know, who these types of politicians are. Like, they're not taking shit from anybody. And even if they do, like, he's the kind of guy who he did hear, you know, particular atrocities that, and Grace had a moment of kind of trying to relay to him. And he was just like, no, send those assholes away. Basically. Mm-hmm. He's like, these people should not be here. Basically anyone who's showing up here is a terrorist.
Anyone who comes in a boat.
Yeah.
If they came in a plane, it would be different.
True. Anyone who's showing up in this way.
Yeah.
Is,
because it's about him, right?
Yes.
He's not thinking about those people. He's thinking about how does this reflect badly on me as the minister of safety that I am not protecting. It looks like I'm not protecting my country. I can't even stop a boatload of people from coming. Just the completely the wrong way to think about it.
Of course. Anyway, he's gross. The end.
He's gross.
He is gross.
I just kept seeing Stephen Harper's face on that guy's head.
I mean, I kind of did too.
Yeah, I was like,
don't sue me.
No,
but,
he's kind of
but littler. He was like,
he's littler.
He was like really short,
and like barrel chested.
He was just a really tiny man, like a really pine sized dude.
He was 4'5".
This is not at all how I was picturing him. So I like that you had your
because I don't
image.
Think you really described him physically. Too
I did
much.
Actually.
Did you? And he's not small?
I did describe his face.
I remember his face, but for some reason I...
Because he had a different face before.
I remember him aging.
Did he have warts on it?
No, he maybe looked a little too closely like...
To a politician? A person that
I do not want to be sued, so I cannot say.
A person that people don't like. The subtitle of this episode is, please don't sue.
The title of this episode is, we write fictional villains to look like people we secretly hate.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to totally do that.
I write fictional villains, and I describe them in ways that don't look like anybody.
To truly hide your intent.
It's funny, though, because different readers see different politicians in him.
Right.
And I think it's true that his type of politician is a politician we have seen through history.
Oh,
like when
for
I was
sure.
reading reports from the 40s of how, like, things that were said about the Japanese by politicians in this country, they were all the same words. It's all the same words and the same combination. There is nothing new. So some of the words that that Fred Blair says were taken from documents from the 30s.
Oh my God.
Like, I just took those words and put them in his mouth.
So awful. Yeah. There's something too in your book where I feel like I was a third of the way through and I realized I was reading a lot about bureaucracy and I was very invested. And I think it takes a very good writer to do that, to like make bureaucratic shit interesting.
That was
and like
one
emotionally,
of the challenges.
I mean, I can only imagine.
Yeah, that was a big
how
challenge.
How hard that was.
And I was helped a lot by my editors, actually. Yeah.
Like, do you have a legal background?
No.
Okay, because that was really fascinating to me, all of that. So, mm-hmm. like, my baby daddy is a lawyer, and a lot of that firm stuff is very familiar to me. Like,
yeah,
all of that.
Yeah. I did a lot of research.
Yeah. Can I ask you, kind of a shallow question?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, I watched the Writers Trust Gala. I was very...
Okay.
Can you tell us about, like, the fancy things, like the clothes and I want to know.
I care about this also. This is better because my next question was also, like, my most superficial question, but it was mostly, like, about...
Are you asking watching. What I was wearing?
I mean, that definitely.
I actually don't really remember what you were wearing, but I really want to know what it's like to get ready for that and to have and then to be in that room with all the other fancies.
That's so funny. The Writers Trust didn't feel fancy because we were just a bunch of loser writers. Sorry, other writers don't
see. You were with like all the cool people.
No, the best
people. I know, but you know, we're all dorks. It doesn't matter like, how famous you are and how well your book does. I feel like the thing I've learned is like everyone's a dork and everyone just likes stupid stuff that I like, right?
I mean,
like
very
at the sentence level
stuff.
How do we craft this story? And so we're all dorky in that way. But very specifically that whole day before the Writers Trust event, I was just slammed doing work and I ran from the taping of the audiobook. I ran from that to my hotel room, quickly like changed my clothes, brushed my hair, and then ran across to the CBC.
Oh, good for you.
So it was not at all. I didn't have any makeup on. It was not fancy.
You looked great.
Yeah, Thank you.
I recall you looking good. I don't remember.
I do. Yeah. You looked like luminous.
Aw. That's just the glow of winning.
It's just the glow of winning.
But we got to the Glenn Gould studio and it was packed. It was so hot. And I was standing in a little circle with Ivan Coyote, who's wonderful.
Delightful Ivan.
See, hi, Ivan. See, you can't feel like you're just like, we're all like dorks together and feeling awe. It was Ivan Coyote, myself, and Omar El Akkad.
Yeah.
And we were all up for awards and we were all just like sweating it, feeling sick and nauseous and making jokes about, they had said to the Writers Trust people who are lovely, had said, there's a green room if anyone is feeling panicked. You could just go to the panic room, put your head down. So we were joking about needing the panic room. So yeah, it didn't feel glamorous. I will say the Canada Reads, there was like 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
We were all at the CBC offices and we had to get dressed up and they put like hair and makeup.
And you have to do like photo shoots and stuff. Yeah.
That was like living someone else's life.
Isn't it weird?
Oh, that's so weird. Like you're in this big kind of cavernous space with the lights and the cameras and the white backdrop. And they're saying, the cameraman is like, you know, smile and pose this way and put your leg out and put your knee out. Like, I look so awkward.
Well, I mean, it's writers, right?
Yeah, it's writers. We're all awkward.
There was the year I was one of the debaters in Canada Reads and they did all these like promotion.
You were like the celebrity panelist?
Yeah. Which they always had to have one writer. So celebrity is a tenuous term, but I had to hold, I was defending Fruit by Brian Francis. Hi, Brian Francis. They took all these like promo shots of me holding this, but they didn't use any of them because I look so fucking awkward. Like there's just,
I've only seen like a couple of photos of me because I'm sure I looked awkward.
They just, for the promos, they just used Avi Lewis and Sarah Sleen, who looked great. Thanks a lot. Hi, Avi Lewis and Sarah Sleen, if you're listening.
This is why I refuse to take just like a normal author headshot and all my photos have to be fucking weird. Because I'm just like, I have to own this. This is how I feel comfortable.
I feel
my mouth has to be like wide open and weird. Yeah. Like I have to be in some weird setting. Otherwise, you got to do you. I'm never going to be that author that's like just sitting there and it's a black and white photo of me where my hand is like under my chin. Like that's never going to be.
That's my author. You literally just grabbed my author photo.
You can do it. I can't do it. I can if it's sarcastic where I'm like, hey.
Who took your author photo?
I have 3 different sets of author photos.
Are they professionals or are they friends?
They were friends, but who are also photographers.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like I'm lucky that I know a lot of artists and photographers. Yeah. Like when Daniel and I did rom-com, we specifically did photo shoots together so that we would have lots to, use. But I mean, I think going to a photographer, and I haven't done studio shots, and I feel like I want to do that next time. No, I'm ready.
The studio shots are, but the lighting is very good. The lighting.
I'm not, that doesn't make me uncomfortable. Like, I'm very extroverted. I'll jump around and like, I held a dog one time.
I mean, held a dog one time. Sure.
Like, for our rom-com photos. Yeah, I was holding like a cute dog.
I'll tell very short.
Belly was just like in the photo.
When my first novel came out, I was really adamant I wanted to take my author photo in a downtown East Side alley because I felt it was appropriate.
Right.
And yeah. Then my photographer, who's also a friend, she's like, hey, why don't you sit on that abandoned couch right there? And
no.
I went up
Did
to...
You? Oh, no.
Oh, it smelled terrible.
Oh, no.
And
no.
In
I
addition...
I feel like it's going to end with bed bugs.
No, know, and in addition, there was like a used latex glove on it. And I was like, Sherry? Ooh. Hi, Sherry. But Sherry,
we're not going to do this.
No, I'm standing only.
Yeah. Standing.
Okay, we're reaching the end of our time. Jen, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I can go.
Okay, I'm going to time you.
Okay.
So it's time for Jen's emotion corner, where she will tell us about her feelings. Okay, you ready?
My feelings.
Okay, go.
Okay, so the other day I went for a walk in the woods on this trail, which is an off-leash trail, where there were lots of dogs, because this is what I do. When I'm having lots of emotions, I take walks where I can see dogs. And I saw this Australian kettle dog, and I said, hi, doggy. And the Australian kettle dog looked at me and went, hurry. And I was like, what is even happening? And then I started to cry, because I was like, what is this? And then I realized it's the year of the earth dog, right? Which is a Chinese zodiac thing. And I've been in this like winter fog for months, so I was like standing there, and this like Australian cattle dog is like fully having this conversation with me, and I'm like, this is going to mean that the year of the earth dog is going to be great. And I felt optimism for the first time in like months. Oh. Even though I still like have my stress constipation,
sure,
and like rage naps all the time, I really feel like we're making slow, deliberate progress and everything is going to be good. So my emotion is actually optimism today, which is actually a little bit messed up. I'm sorry, Canlit listeners, if you're disappointed, but optimism, everybody, we're going to be fine. Gonna be fine. I don't know how many more seconds I have. I said cautious.
You're done, but you can say something else.
My note here is I'm feeling a cautious, measured optimism.
A cautious, measured optimism. That sounds so eggheady.
That's like sometimes that's all we can ask for.
Honestly, like okay, wait. Okay, Dina, are you ready for?
Oh, I'm ready. Yeah,
your rage minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Rage.
All right, go. Go.
Okay, winter acne. It's already cold and it's wet, and I also have to be riddled with zits. Not cool. Calorie counting. I'm sorry. I please don't talk about it. It's so upsetting for like pretty much everyone, including you. Public bathrooms with no hooks.
Oh,
on
why?
The doors.
Why?
What the fuck is wrong with this situation? Do they think that people don't have stuff that they want to hang? Do you think that people want to drag it through like fecal matter and urine? No, nobody wants to do that. They do not want to do that. Socialist bros. They're like the kind that act as if they have super woke views, but in fact, really anything to do with like women for the most part doesn't interest them at all. It never crosses their mind. So you're the grossest.
Yes.
No one likes you. Stop pretending to be good when you're as awful as every other bro. Oh, and when people tell me that I live in the wrong part of the country because I don't like being cold. Okay, but literally, this is the only place.
Where's the other part of the country
you
could live in?
I've gotten into this argument like three times in the last couple weeks, and I'm like, yeah, when it snows here, guess what? It's really bad because people are unprepared. It's not like we're just like, boy, we're so ready for snow, but we just don't deal with it. Like, we don't have the resources to deal with it.
You know.
Anyway, it's absurd.
I'm 100% here for all of that. A, winter acne. B, socialist bros. Like that is.
I like how you put them right after the bathroom.
Yeah. Fecal matter. Well,
they're metaphorically dragging us through fecal matter.
Socialist. That's how you know you're a writer. Because without even thinking about it, you just paired the two things together.
Yeah, it's how we do. So where can people find you on the internet? You have a website?
Mm-hmm, I do. SharonBala.com.
Yep.
And I'm on Instagram, Sharon.Bala. And I am not on Twitter because I cannot with Twitter.
Is that what you can't with?
I cannot with Twitter. Okay. I hate it.
I'm gonna let that go ahead because that felt like the right choice. Is that gonna be your what you can't with?
Oh yeah, that's what I can't with.
All right, great. You can find us at cantlit.ca. You can find us on Twitter at cantlit, Facebook, cantlit. If you follow me and Jen on Instagram, you can see the selfies we are gonna take in one moment. And it will be a delight. So thank you for being here. I wish we could have talked to you for like 2 hours. Your book is wonderful. Everyone, please read The Boat People. It is also, on the short list for CBC Canada Reads.
Exciting. Really,
big, exciting deal. And you're going to read tonight in Vancouver.
Yes.
Your first reading for the book here.
With some very exciting writers.
With amazing people, with Kim Fu.
Oh my God, Kim Fu.
I'm so excited.
Who else is reading with you? Four people. Oh, Gilliam Morissette.
And I don't know how to say her name, but I'm going to think it's Jamila.
I think you're right. I think it is Jamila.
Yeah.
I'll find out tonight.
Hi, everybody. Yeah. Have fun tonight.
Everyone, have fun. Okay, well, this has been a great mini cantlet.
It's a good cantlet.
We didn't eat the pastry, so I'm going to eat them all.
I'm going to eat them too.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.